Today, I'd like to welcome into the studio Mr. Dave Duvay of Helena, Montana, a former Navy Corpsman stationed in Vietnam in August of 69 until September of 70. Dave, thanks for coming in to join me today.
Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, I was glad to have you here. Okay, you were a Navy Corpsman. That was a tough job. Tell me about going in to the service.
I received a phone call from my dad, who lived in Shelby. That was my hometown, Montana, in 1967, September of 1967. And he told me, you'd better decide whether you're going to get drafted or whether you're going to enlist, because I've got a draft notice here for you. And at that time, I was working in Libby, Montana, painting trucks for a neon sign outfit in Libby. I was a sign painter. My dad taught me how to paint signs. And I decided that I didn't want to be drafted. 1967 was not a really good year for draftees, okay? So I hopped on a train and I rode over to Spokane, Washington, and enlisted in the Navy, because I had already had a year of college, Montana State University in Bozeman, and I had a Red Cross EMT card. They thought that it would be good for me if I became a hospital corpsman, with the extra added benefit of an increase in rank before I ever joined. So that sounded like a good deal to me, but nobody ever told me that I was going to be stationed with the Marines in Vietnam when I did that. And by the time I had received hospital corps training at Balboa, the hospital at Balboa, Naval Hospital in San Diego, and 14 weeks of training to be a field medical person at Camp Pendleton, my uniform went from being white to being khaki, and I ended up in Vietnam.
So much for the Navy whites.
Yes, so much for the Navy whites.
Now, when you went to Vietnam, where did you go in country? The Marines were mostly up in the northern part of
Vietnam.
They
were. It was I Corps.
I Corps, yes.
I Corps. I was assigned to a Marine outfit, the 3rd Battalion, 26th Marines, who had been the primary defenders at Quezon
during the Tet siege late 67 and 68.
That's correct.
So they were pretty beat up then, but were they in Quezon when you joined them?
No, they were not in Quezon. They had been they were withdrawn from Quezon after the NVA withdrew, and were stationed at Hailan Pass, which is just north of Da Nang, and there was a huge oil refinery just north of Da Nang as well. The Esso Company had a refinery there, and they provided security for the Esso plant and the road from Da Nang north to Hue, over what's called Hailan Pass. And that was their primary mission, was providing security on the road for the materials and resupplies that were necessary to forces in
I Corps. this was the group that you joined. You say they were securing the road. Were they in tanks and personnel carriers or anything like that?
They had tanks. They had amphibious vehicles as well. Amtraks is what they were called. I never was on an Amtrak, and in 4 years in the Navy, I never set foot on a ship either.
something unique about that experience,
yes,
isn't there?
Yes, something really unique.
Just out of curiosity, before you went into the service, what did you think about the draft and the war in general? Well, just it was getting quite a bit of coverage by them after Tet of 68.
Yes, it was. But as a matter of fact, there were anti-war protests at Balboa across the street from the hospital, where the exposition had been in the, I believe, in the 1920s. There was a Pacific exposition, and they built quite a number of buildings that the anti-war protesters used the park beside the zoo for their anti-war protests. And of course, I didn't attend, but I was to the point that it was, I understood that there were protests, but I was working on a hospital surgical ward dealing with men who were coming back from Vietnam and understood the enormity.
That's a perfect way of expressing it, Dave. So you end up in Vietnam. You end up with the unit, but before that, didn't you go to a hospital or something?
Yes. I spent 14 weeks after boot camp. I spent 14 weeks at the Naval Hospital in San Diego as a hospital corpsman working on a surgical ward, and a worked for a doctor who did worked also at Scripps Institute looking into stomach ulcers and the treatment of stomach ulcers with mollusks. There's something about a mollusk that they were studying at Scripps, and he was also involved in that program. Used one of the first fiber optic scopes to be looking at people's stomach ulcers. I also worked at what amounts to the Red Cross, although it was a service-connected unit. In San Diego, okay. At the hospital. We drew blood from Marine recruits and recruits at the Naval Training Center. Every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we would draw blood from busloads of men that were in boot camp who got out of boot camp for the day on the premise of getting a free steak dinner.
Okay? For giving blood for the wounded soldiers and
yes,
Marines
yes,
in Vietnam.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Now, once you got in country, though, were you any place before? Weren't you 6 months at a hospital?
I was 6 months in what we called the bush. Okay, it was a field unit, 3rd Battalion, 26th Marines.
So you went straight to the field unit.
I went straight to the field.
Okay.
I drew my equipment, including a .45 pistol, and medical gear and, of course, the clothes and boots that everyone wore, and I was assigned to a field unit. The rotation was you spent 6 months with a field unit, and then you spent 6 months at a rear, and I spent 2 of those 6 months in the rear at the battalion aid station, okay. And the last 4 months I was stationed at 1st Medical Battalion receiving hospital. In fact, anyone who needed a treatment that could return to their unit overnight was left there. If they needed more treatment than that, initially they were flown to either the sanctuary, USS Sanctuary that was anchored in Da Nang Harbor, or the large naval hospital at Da Nang.
Okay. So then you were going out of the wire on patrols.
Yes.
And you would be out for a 1 or 2 day sweep sometimes?
Sometimes, and I spent at least 6 weeks on top of a hill that we called Eagle Eye with a forward observer, a Marine forward observer that was observing for the USS Missouri.
Whoa, that'd be fun. Those are big guns.
Yes, they were. They kept everybody up at night.
But they kept you alive during the day,
yes,
too.
Yes, they did.
So you got to watch him direct fire?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yep.
So during this time, then, there was a lot of action. You were on road security details.
We did road sweeps. We did night ambushes. We did what they called a med cap, which was our doctor and nurses would come out, and we would go out and provide security as they provided medical care and dental care for the Vietnamese civilians. So
yeah, that was a noble effort. And nobody at home ever heard anything about that.
No, I don't think they did.
No, if they did, they didn't hear much. They just heard the high-profile activities. When you were out on patrol, in addition, well, tell me everything you carried with you in your pack and your medical kit.
I carried about 16 or 17 pounds worth of medical gear. That would include drugs that I had to dispense on a daily basis. Chloroquine and Premaquine tablets and halogen tablets.
Salt tabs.
Salt tabs. And all of that I needed to carry that. Anesthetics, okay, like I carried morphine, okay, and scissors, surgical suture material, bandages, what amounts to the Neosporin type antiseptic to take care of leeches, leech wounds, and that type of thing. Infections were fairly common. I took a number of photographs of various skin irritations that I found rather interesting. I've got pictures of huge bugs, centipedes, 7 or 8 or 9 inches long. I have pictures of myself holding pit vipers.
That was living dangerously.
Yes, and once I was back at the battalion aid station, we had to take care of making certain that the round 50-gallon drums full of oil that were used as latrines were burned every day. They filled them with diesel oil, and they burned every day. So there was these large columns of, we had to live trap rats.
Plague, are you looking for plague?
Oh, yes. We live trapped them, and then we had to dispose of them. And we held rat races. Flaming rat races.
You have to do something for fun, right?
Oh, yes, of course.
We do need our diversions. I'd like to, for the sake of anybody who just joined us, again, welcome my guest for the day, Mr. Dave Duvay of Helena, Montana, who is a former Navy Corpsman stationed in Vietnam in August of 69 until September of 70. Once again, David, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
On your sweeps and on your duties outside the wire, would you usually go with a platoon size force?
No, usually half a dozen. We had a machine gunner, someone who had an M79, what we called the blooper, which was a grenade launcher.
Go about 400 yards, as I remember.
Yes. A machine gunner and corporals or lance corporals with small arms, M16s. On night night ambushes. We didn't have a mortar unit with us, but there was a mortar unit with our platoon as well.
A 60-millimeter mortar?
Yes, yes.
That's pretty small and easy to carry.
Well, easy to carry.
Would it go 400-500 yards? Would it go?
Or yes. Not?
Okay. Right. So you couldn't help but get in the soup once in a while, and you remember anything that really got under your skin about fear or anything? Any particular events?
I'll recount one particular event. When I got there in September, early September after I was there, the monsoon season had started, and we went out on a night ambush. There were half a dozen of us, and when you go out on a night ambush, the watches are split into two-hour watches, and we went out without rain gear. And I remember taking the midnight to 2 o'clock watch, and it was the worst night that I spent or have ever had in my entire life. And the reason why I would say that was because I felt alone. And I really was alone. It was an awesome feeling to realize that it was me and I was the only one who was awake, and I had managed to keep my head dry. And that was it. The rest of my entire body was wet and cold. And I had wrapped like a turtle in a shell. I had pulled my head down with my flak jacket over my ears. So I really could not have heard anything if anything would have happened. But when I woke the fellow up next to me, at 2 o'clock, I had still managed to keep the top of my head dry. And at that point, I laid down with my head against a tree and pulled the flak jacket up even further over my head, and realized by the time that I had done that, that although my head was dry, there were a couple of mosquitoes inside with me, and I had a difficulty time deciding whether I was going to get my head wet to get rid of the mosquitoes or simply say to hell with it and let the mosquitoes have their way with me. And really, that was the worst fear that I had, the most
so
fearful
alone.
Event, because I was trained to deal with the trauma that I was trained to deal with and reacted as I should have for that event, but there is no way to understand what it feels like to be really alone and scared.
And you were how old at the time?
20.
20.
Yes. Yeah. I had Marines in my platoon. I had one Marine that was drafted. Now, you would not think that that would be possible, but indeed, they were drafted. I had two Marines that were 17 years old. I had four Marines in my time with 326 that had been at Quezon that I knew from what I had been taught should never have been left in Vietnam after the Khe Sanh siege, but yet they were there. I was charged with making certain that each and every one of those men was physically fit and mentally fit, and these four were not mentally fit.
You know, the early effects of PTSD at that?
Yes. They had PTSD already.
You felt that they should have been taken out of the
yes.
field then?
Yes. The problem with doing that with something similar to the Band of Brothers is that they were reluctant to admit their issues, and command was reluctant to remove them from the field, and I was put in the position of making certain that they went home.
Tough order when they were that
yes.
Damaged.
Yes.
Well, what was it? Patton had slapped the kid who was suffering PTSD at the time and
yes.
called him a coward or something like
yes.
that. It wasn't very well accepted back then, and maybe not a whole lot better today.
Well, I think it was more a matter of it not being understood. Back then, PTSD was not recognized for what it was. Most of the, I think I have a feeling for why it wasn't recognized. I think the average age of the World War II soldier was in the neighborhood of 26 or 27. The average age of the combat soldier in Vietnam was 19. If I'm I'm pretty close to being correct about
right.
the age differential. And I don't think that even today that we should be asking what we're asking of our young soldiers, okay, to be committing them to spending more than one 365-day tour in a war zone, a combat zone, is not realistic
no.
from the perspective of PTSD.
Well, as we know, it's got a cumulative effect, and it's
yes.
it just doesn't get any easier the
yes.
more times you're exposed
no,
to that
risk. No, it does not get
that
any
risk.
Easier.
Well, let's fast forward to when you came home. You were treated well when you got back in?
I don't know that I was treated well or unwell based on my reluctance to admit that I was a Vietnam veteran. I displayed no outward sign that I was a Vietnam veteran. There were those in my class that were much in college. Once I got out of the military, I went back to college at Northern in Havre, worked on my in-laws' ranch and farm, drove a tractor and fed the cows and did all of those things and went to school at the same time. But the classroom environment had drastically changed by the time I went back to school, and I really did exhibit no outward sign that I was a Vietnam veteran. So therefore, there might have been some shame on my part that by that time, John Kerry and Jane Fonda were demonstrating against the war, and there was a bit of shame on my part that some of the things that they were protesting against were in fact, true from my perspective. I knew of prisoner abuse and those types of things. And so I sort of withdrew from society, in a sense, and my withdrawal became even more pronounced over time. I didn't talk about it. I didn't talk about it with my wife. I didn't talk about it with my kids, although my kids were my kids were too young to ask the question, "What did you do?" Okay. And I really never revealed any of that until I began to have problems with dealing with PTSD.
You've spent a little time in counseling then?
I spent a lot of time in counseling, primarily with and this is still before it was recognized by the VA as a real problem, with a private psychiatrist. Yes, I did. My wife was kind enough to get me some help, because at that point I really did need help. I had isolated myself so far that I really did need help.
Now, you're an artist. You are an artist.
Yes,
I am. You have a creative outlet.
Yes.
You are doing well.
Yes.
The memories still exist.
Yes.
You can deal with it.
Yes.
And you've got a great family life.
Yes.
You're a lucky man.
Yes, I am.
And to what extent would you give credit to the counseling, all the work you've done on PTSD, as an underpinning for whatever good feelings you have today?
I would suggest that every one of our young military men get the help that they need by asking for it. Okay, they have to ask for it. There are some programs now that are encouraging that sort of thing, which didn't exist when I was in Vietnam or when I came back from Vietnam. Those things did not exist. We were dumped back into society. And for that reason, I think that climate has changed. Our young military men are recognized for what they have given. Some have given a lot and some have given all. But regardless of that, if they have isolated feelings, anger, resentment about the things that they experience, I suggest that they ask for the help that they truly need.
If they're going through substance abuse or any kind of other evasive activity so they don't have to face these things inside them, they also need help with that too.
Yes, they do.
A lot of avoidance behaviors, whether it's isolation or whether it's booze or workaholism. David, thank you so much for coming. David Duvet, Helena, Montana, former Navy Corpsman in Vietnam.
Thank you for asking me.